Well, we've come to that place where we're into this fourth part of the series of David. And we've talked a lot about David as this young boy and as a man and as king and some of the things that were, last one was a pretty tough one for David. But today I want to share with you, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to share with you that David is a man after God's own heart. He is the king. Just a mighty man himself in the Lord, and David has a lot. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's gifted. He is the leader of the nation of Israel, Judah. He's just the leader, and he's great. He's amazing. He's a musician, great fighter. But I also want to share with you that David also has some great men around him. And so today I want to talk a little bit about some of those men that were around him, and some of you may know, talking about David's mighty men. This is a group of men that David continued to pick up men all the way from, I think, from the cave of Adullam. When he went in there were so many people that started to come and flock to him, and it grew over time, and David definitely has some great men. I want to talk about some of the things that these men, what they were about and what they did, and how they helped David become the army that David had. So David had a very, very strong army, very strong men, and it just continued to grow. But I want to go into 2 Samuel chapter 13 this morning, and we're going to read about three of these mighty men. There's three that are just very, very important, and we're going to talk about them. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer here, and we will begin. Father, as we begin to open up your word here, we pray, Father, Lord, that your spirit would just do your part, Lord. We pray, Father, we'd have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us individually and as a church today. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here in verse 8, we see that these are the names of David's warriors. Josheb, Bath-Heabeth, the Tekshmanite, that's a tough one, was chief of the officers. He wielded his spear against 800 men that he killed at one time. So here we find this guy, Josheb. We see this guy, Josheb. He is different. It tells us that he is the chief of the officers. He's the chief of these three. He's the chief. And so there's a reason why this Tekumenite is a Hebrew word that comes into this place, meaning that he is educated. This man is educated. He knows. He's intelligent. He is a guy that is very judicious. He's a learned man. He's a smart man. He's the intellectual man. So what would this man look like? This man would probably be somewhat, if we were talking in our day, we would use that title probably as a general. He's kind of like a general. Some of you guys in here are ex-military. You know, he's like the general guy. He's the top-notch guy here who is smart, but also it says that he had also fought and defeated and killed 800 men with his sword. So this guy is not just a guy that sits in the rear with the gear and sits there with a pointy pen. This is a guy that also goes out and fights the battles. And David says, wow, for what you did that, you are, this guy is it. This guy is the man. So we see here this man is not only smart and intellectually intelligent, educated, makes wise, full of knowledge. He's a fighter as well. David likes that. David likes that. But not only him, we see another one. Verse 9, after him, Eleazar, son of Dodo, son of the Haonite, was among these three warriors with David when they defied the Philistines. The men of Israel retreated in the place they had gathered for battle, but Eleazar stood his ground and attacked the Philistines until his hand was tired and struck to his sword. The Lord brought a great victory that day, and then the troops came back, but only to plunder the dead. So David's army is beginning to build with leaders that are just different. This guy here is a Halehite. So this guy here comes from a military family. This group is all about military. He was about the military guys. These were all military. So he just grew up like in this military family. And so this group also was part of this tribe of Benjamin, which is the greatest fighters of all those other tribes. So he is a guy. This is a guy that you would think that everybody wants this guy around. He is kind of like this guy has all heart. He's all heart. He's in it. He's going to fight. He's going to do his thing. He'd be a guy maybe like in Special Forces or Recon or something like that. But he does it. And what we see here in Scripture is that he was out there in the battlefield and everybody left. But he didn't. He didn't. He stayed and stuck to the... He stuck there and fought this battle. Now, some of your versions may say that his hand was stuck. Some of your versions may say his hand was frozen to his sword. What it is that I look at it like this. This man never dropped his sword. This man kept his sword. He kept wielding that sword all the way through, and everybody left, and this man stuck to his ground, and he did what he wanted and needed to do. And what happened? The Bible says that God gave him a great victory. You know, so many times our victories, we don't see the victories in our life because we run away. And then what is the word says that people came back after the battle was done. They got the plunder, right? That means they got what was left in that battle. They took it. That's a blessing to them. They took it. So everybody got some of that plunder, but only one person can truly testify to what happened. Eleazar. So he has it. God gave him a victory through that. And then, so we have this smart man, this general type of guy. Now we have this guy that's all heart, fights all out of his heart, military guy, military family. And here he is with a great victory as well. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. And now we have a third guy. Verse 11, after him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had assembled in the formation where there was a field full of lentils. And they'd be like a pea field. It says the troops fled from the Philistines, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field, defended it, and struck down the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Sounds like the same story, but it's different because of who he is. The Hararite guy, mountaineer type of guy. Guys that live in the country. You might say a guy like a hillbilly. It's my ground. This is my pea field. This is my cornfield. This is where we are. And you know, how many of y'all been out in the country and saw that sign, no trespassing? Got 20 dogs out there. And you know, if you got on that property, you know, you don't even have to ask. There's guns on that property, right? Because they're going to defend their property, right? That's what this guy is. Everybody left. Everybody left. All the other soldiers left. So the enemy sits there and said, we got this guy. So whether we call him a country boy or a hillbilly, there's a fight going on. And in the end, he's the only one standing. He's the only one standing. And what happens is, so the Lord gives a great victory. So we have a general. We have this special forces guy, right? Right? And then we have this country boy. So we have these three individuals who are completely different, but they have the same focus. They have the same, a lot of the same gifts, a lot of the same talents, but yet different in so many ways. And yet here we find that they are part of David's mighty men. In fact, these three get together. We're not going to go through all, but these three get together. All they did was hear David say something. Wow, I wish I could get a drink from the hometown, get a water from the well from the hometown. That's all they need to hear. That's your next story down if you want to read it later on. If someone would just give me a drink. These guys, the enemy is over there. They got the enemy. Philistines are all around it. So they turn around and they go right through there. They get their water from Bethlehem and they pull it back and they make it through. So they crash right through the front line, went through. They all three came back and they brought the water to David. All David did was just ask for some water, and these guys went. There was no asking if we can go. There's none of all these other things. So it's an amazing piece what these mighty men was able to accomplish. And there was some great things that these guys did. And these guys, this is why David won so many victories. They were men who loved God. They were men who loved their king. They were men who were doing that. Later on, David ends up counting the men he did it, and it was a bad deal. It worked out bad for him. But he finds out that he does have a million. He has over a million men now at this time in his high point of his kingdom. He has over a million men. But the Bible says that there were 37 mighty men. 37 mighty men. 37. And there were three that was even special into that group. There were three that were special in that. There was another couple more. There was a bodyguard guy. There was one in charge of the 30. But these three were so special. You know why they're special? Because I want to tell you why they're so special. They had character. They had the character I believe that God's looking for in each one of us. You see, here at New Life, we need that character. We have things that we need to accomplish what God has for us as well. Number one is courage. You know what courage is? It's facing something that you have a little fear about facing. You got to take courage. Not everybody has courage. Well, I think these three men had courage. I think the mighty men had courage. I think David was full of courage. God is always telling his men, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. We see Moses telling Joshua that. We see God telling Joshua that. We saw some other kings in the 1st, 2nd Kings talking to them be about strong and courageous. It's very explicit throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. Because people were facing things that were very fearful, bigger than them. That was much bigger than them. So I think one of the character things that God is looking for us is to be courageous. We need to have courage. It's scary sometimes to do some of the things that we do. And it's hard to do some of the things we do. We have to have courage for it, courage to do it. Another thing that these men had, that they had commitment. That means they stick to it. That means they stick to it and they finish through the whole duration. Things come up, God makes moves, those are different. But just walking away from a commitment is not a good thing. You see, I think what we've lost in the American church is really, what is church really about? Was church really about me at all? Really? Was it really about me and my kids? It is first me getting to know who God is and understanding that every man falls short before the glory. Every man falls short before God. And I need to have a relationship with God. I need to have salvation with God. Before God's going to use me, I need to know who He is. And learn by being discipled and grow in that. So many people want to go from here to here just like that. And what happens is people get tired in their commitment and they jump around from here to there, here, here, here and there. Because this is not what we're looking for. Listen, I want to tell you this. People are looking for the church that they are looking for, and that's not really how you go about it. You go to where God is leading you to. That's the difference between a Christian who's discipled and a Christian who isn't. A Christian who's discipled will not say, Lord, I want to go here, I want to go there. Sometimes we ask those things, but we don't even involve God. We just go do what we want. But a Christian who is discipled, who loves the Lord, who's trying to follow the Lord, will say, Lord, where do you want me to go? Something happened in the last year, whatever it is. Lord, where are you leading me? What do you want me to do? It's continuing listening to the Lord. You know, God knows everything, doesn't He? God is amazing. He is, there is none like Him. I just wonder sometimes why we talk so much to Him instead of listening to the one who knows everything. Sometimes we are talking and we're talking to God. Next thing we know, we're talking at God. Next thing we know, we're telling to God to do things. When He knows everything, it's all His creation, and we should probably be doing a little more listening. And I say amen to myself. But not only courage and commitment, these men also had heart. You can do things out of commitment. You can do things out of certain things because you have a responsibility. But when you do it from the heart as well, it's just that inner part that just really comes out, and it puts that extra personal touch on it. And I just, you know, we know that Jesus was all heart. Mark tells us so much about His compassion. It wasn't that He just came down. Yep, I got to come down here and I got to live on this world for a while, and then I'm gonna die as a sacrifice for people, and then I'm gonna go back home. No, He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He just fell in love with more and more people, compassion, more and more. But he was all heart, and I think that's what it is. You know, when someone sings a song and they feel like they're singing a song And they sing it because they say, I'm good. Ain't I good? Where's my applause, right? Or you're singing the song and you do it because I don't want to do it, but I just got to fill in today and I'm just going to do it. Or I come in, I have an opportunity to sing before God today. I'm going to give it my all. And I might have missed a note, but you know what? God sees what? He hears the heart first. We hear the voice. We want to be entertained. I'm so glad that God's not looking for me to entertain him, because it's not going to happen very well. He looks at the heart, and these men had, they were all heart. They were all heart. They were all in. But also, they were loyal. They were loyal. How do you stand in a pea field when everybody else leaves and you're the only one there and you're outnumbered? How do you stand there in a field when it's frozen and freezing outside and everybody runs and you're in this field and you're fighting this fight? Listen, you're loyal to something. You're loyal to someone. But the Bible says in both of those stories that the Lord gave a great victory. And I'm going to tell you, God's not going to give someone a victory if they're not loyal. Okay? God's not going to give his people a victory unless they're loyal to him. And you can't wield out 800 people in a battle with a spear unless you're loyal to him. And folks, I want to tell you, New Life, if it's not where it is today, if we were not loyal to him, we would not be where we are today. And yet we have so much growth to grow. But also selfless. They were selfless. Listen, you don't go in a battlefield and fight the odds 300-1. You don't fight a battle and be selfish in that battle. No, you're running with the rest of the crew. And the most selfish ones were probably in the front, because it's all about them. Being selfless means I'm putting others before myself. And I think that's what these warriors were doing. Not just these three, but the whole mighty, the whole 37 of them. The scripture mentions all of them. Mentions all of them. And so we see that they were selfless. And I think American churches, we're really selfish. I want my type of music. I want my type of preacher. I want my type of thing. I want this. I want this for my kids. I get it. We do need to have good programs for kids. We need to have those things. You know, but not every church has those things. So do we knock all those churches off that don't have those things? No. Because inside some of those churches are the greatest warriors for the Lord. Everybody wants the flock where everything is taken care of. These men, most of these men did not come to David when he became king. They came along before he became king. But not only were they do that, they had honor. They had high respect for their king. They had high respect for what they were, soldiers. High respect. They honored God. And God gave them victory. They honored even at the point of death. Even if this costs me my life, if it's the pea field I'm going to die in, I'll die in this pea field. But I'm not going to go out getting hit in the back, running. I'm going to face my enemy, and I'm going to yield and wield what I have in front of me. And we would wield prayers and worship and serving the Lord, doing those kind of things. And these men also had discipline. Never stop learning about Jesus. I don't care if you read the Bible every year. That's great. That's awesome. If you're one of those people that can read the Bible in a year, great. But don't stop learning. If you say, I've read the Bible the last 20 years, well, if that's in part of your discipline action, and that's who you are, just keep doing it. Someone else may say, I read through the New Testament every year, or I may go through back and forth, or however it works for you. Never stop learning. Never stop learning. Have good discipline. Go to church. Worship the Lord with your heart. Go to church. Do a spiritual check before you come in. Check yourself. Listen, attitude will destroy all the work that you've done. Attitude will destroy all the work that you've done. Besides all the good things that you're trying to do. Satan's also trying to tear apart what's going on. And so we see that these men had courage and commitment, and they were all heart, and they were loyal, and they were selfless and honor. They had honor and discipline. These are all things that, if you've been in the military, these are all things that they want, and they can't give it to you, but they try to teach you how to have it. And you know how one of the first things you have to do to get these things? You kind of got to empty yourself. Your personal pride. Everything's about you. And I believe that this is about what God is doing here, even in New Life. We are small, but we are mighty. But we have to say that we are mighty only in the Lord. Because without the Lord, we won't make it. Our bank account is not big enough. Our parking lots are not big enough. We're not doing two or three services. And praise the Lord, there are churches doing that. Great, I have some good peer friends that do two or three services. Great for them. Good. They're serving, doing what they're doing in their area. We're doing what we need to do in this area. And this is a battlefield where we are. We are pretty much the inner city urban church for a small city, small or a large town, however you want to call it. We're on that verge. So Huntington, we are that kind of that inner city. It's messy. It gets ugly at times. People don't come to New Life. People don't go looking for churches downtown. They go to looking churches on the edge of town. Because that's the people who look like us. Who look like them. But when you start to follow God, you find yourself going where it feels uncomfortable at times. They don't look like me, or maybe they don't act like me, or maybe I just don't want to go there. It takes courage to be a New Life. Honestly, it takes courage. Standing in front of something that's a little bit scary. It takes commitment. I don't know where we're at, maybe 90, 100 today. I don't know where we're at. Something probably low 100 maybe today. Depends on how many kids are down there. We count everyone. But on Easter, we're 160. Where's the commitment at? Just asking. Where's the commitment? But you know, just as much as we shoot up, imagine the churches that do two or three services are going up 800. And then 2 weeks later, they go right back down. Where's the commitment even there? I have to say the New Life has a heart. You know who gives us that heart? The Lord. New Life's loyal. It's not a perfect loyal, but we're loyal. We're loyal. It means we have allegiance to the Lord and what He's called us to do. We're selfless, I think. I don't think, you know, I've been criticized in the past for putting too much time and effort into the ministries, but many of those people are not here now, but why aren't we putting more into the church? I want to tell you that ministries is the church. I don't understand that. Why does ministry and church here? It is all one. It all is one because that's what God created this place to be. If we were a church that did upwards, it would all be one. If we were a church that did something else, we'd all be one. It is who we are. It is who New Life is. I think we have honor here. We want to give high respect and honor to God. We want to continue to follow God and respect and do that with God. Give Him honor. He has the first spot here. He is who we worship. And I think we work and continue. I think New Life works on this discipline. You'll never see the whole church everybody on the same wavelength. The only time that you will see that mostly at the highest point will be when a church is in like a revival. Or a church where the Holy Spirit has done something really amazing, where He has moved the hardest of hearts and softened the hardest of hearts, but also have taken the jealousies and the envies out of people, the gossiping out, where God does a full spiritual cleaning. And then for a moment, the church can be like at that level. But it don't last long because we're sinners. And we mess up because we go back to being selfish. But new life continues to grow and thrive because of these characters, these character traits, putting God at the beginning, at the end and the beginning of every one of them. New life has to continue to move forward. We have changes that are going on. There are some things that we need to look at as these, David had these mighty men. We also have some things that we are looking for as well. Some of these positions that we have, because if you go over, and we're not going there, but over in 24 or in the end of 23, you'll see all these men. It says David put him in charge of his bodyguard, and it says among the 30 were, and it lists 30 more men. And then in verse 39 it says, and Uriah the Hittite was the last one on the list. It says there were 37 in all. They all held positions. And if I was going to go into a battle with all these men, I would at least want one of those 37 men with me. I want to share some things with you about new life here this morning with just a little time I got left. There are some positions in this church that this church needs. There are some areas that need to be covered. There's empty spots. There are holes. We continue to grow. The thing is, what makes it really hard here is we don't have 200 people to pick to pick from. Because we're doing so many ministries, we can only establish and do them because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. But this is where you have to believe that when you read that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, this is how you use that. This is how that verse really comes to be. Not just throw it on a t-shirt just to throw it on, but to know that you just don't know the scripture, but that you also have it memorized, but you also know the power of God behind that scripture. And that's the key in your discipling of learning God's word, is just not just knowing the scripture, not just memorizing it, but experiencing the power that scripture brings forth from the living word and the living God. So if the scripture says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that means I can do all things that he puts in front of me, that he will allow I to accomplish it. A couple of things and positions that we need here. We need a children's church teacher. Now, today I'm going to mention some things, but I don't want people coming up after me at church. I think that what we need to do is you need to spend some time asking God what he wants from you, not just hearing what the church needs, but what does God want from you? What does God want from you? You have some talents and gifts that you know about, but you know sometimes God doesn't reveal those things, those spiritual gifts, until we let him lead. So you have to have courage, and you have to have commitment. You have to have courage. We need a children's church. In the children's church department, we need teachers. We need helpers, but we need teachers. We need a teacher, at least one teacher right now, possibly two would be good. We need nursery workers. Kelly can't keep doing the nursery worker every Sunday morning. And I know it's not every Sunday, but she's constantly in there. So we need people who love babies. I want to tell you a story about me. When I was growing up, when I was in my 20s, in a church in Fort Wayne, a lady was doing children's church. I didn't know a whole lot about it, and I just kind of felt like the Holy Spirit just said, hey, I need to be a part of that. And so I said, I'll do that. But later on in that same day, I don't know why it was long, but anyway, I went up to her and I said, you know what? I know I told you I would do children's church, but I just started thinking about all my weekends are gone. My Sunday, I don't want to, if I want to go camping, I want to go camping. I want to do this, I want to do that. And I said, I think I'm going to back out of it. You know what she did? She got in my face and yelled at me. She got this elderly lady got in my face and she says, I've been doing this for X amount of years. What about me? All I'm hearing is you talking about you. Folks, sometimes we have people that are doing positions that have been doing it for a long time. Now, I do want to remind you, if you have a position in this church, it's yours for the time that the Lord, it's yours for the time you have it. After that, sometimes you got to let it go. You got to move on. You got to make room for someone else. So we have nursery workers that we need. That we need children's church help. We also have fusion leaders. So what we are doing is today, Phil and Ashley are going to their assessment tonight to go into Detroit. And there's a Monday, all day Monday, and all day Tuesday to find out if these guys can be church planters. They hold some positions in the church, but there's also a few people that will go along with them, and they hold some positions in the church. So not only that, we have an armful of things. So we also need a music leader. We have singers, but we need that leader there that has all heart. But you know, when you go down to the children's church, don't go down grumbling, because I've told an adult one time, I said, you need to go. And you know who this was? This was a pastor and his wife, and I was in another church. I said, you need to go. You know what he asked me? Is this really worth my time coming down here? I said, you just need to go. I wasn't a pastor at that time. I said, you need to go. You want to serve, you got to be all heart. So if your heart isn't right, you need to get in front of the mirror. You need to get in front of God and say, Lord, what's wrong with my heart? Because it's all about being a heart, having a heart for God. And God examines the heart before he hears how beautiful your voice is or how good you are at biblical knowledge. It's all heart. So we need a music leader that has a heart. We need a music leader that can sing, taking over Ashley's spots. It's going to be different. We're also been, for 2 years, we've been praying for a live band. Musical. We've been praying for this for 2 years. We fasted and prayed for it. There's instruments up here. We need a leader. And you will not drink and get drunk and think someone's going to come up here and sing, because I'll deal with that in a heartbeat. A friend of mine just said, I had two guys come in. They played at the bar and they want to go down and play at church. Nope, stop you at the door. You ain't coming in here. You either serve God and serve God alone. You can't serve Satan and God at the same time. You can't do that. You just can't do that. So I can still smell. I smelled it on them when they came in. And they said they were gifted. So he did music that morning. And he said, So also, we prayed and we fasted that this would come alive up here in the instruments and those kind of things. And I, because God's moving what we have away. We have life group teachers. We're going to have some empty spots for those. We have audio and sound back there. All our pastors are doing audio and sound. Come on. Really? Why? Because they're committed, they're loyal, they're heart, they're all in. So what? You're going to mess up. You're going to squeal it from time to time. Everybody's going to look at you. It's okay. I mess up here from time to time. And my voice squeals. My wife tells me it sounds like a 12-year-old sometimes. I heard that, Don. We're going to need board members. We have board member slots that are open in the ministries and the staff. We have board member spots. We have spots that are open there. There's so many things that are open. And there's so many that I have a list here. I just don't want to go down all of them, but there's such a list here. They're so open. Don't just come in and say, what can the church do for me? It's what can I do for the Lord? And I get to do it here at New Life. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to stand in the field and you're going to feel like you're alone. And you can run like everyone else. Listen, I got an eye on some of you. Because I'm ready. I'm going to have a conversation with some of you. I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to say, listen, this is what we have. I want you to pray about this, this, and this. So if you feel afraid, ask the Lord to give you courage. Because you know what? The same people can't keep doing the same thing. It's time for some people to step up. It's time for us to grow and start letting go of some things. And start saying, okay, here's where we're going to go. We need you and asking you to help us with X, Y, and Z. And if you would do that for us, we would love you to be a part of that. I will tell you this. You do need to be a member of the church to do most of these things, not all of them. But most of these things, you do need to be a member of the church, which means you need to be saved. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to have been baptized. And if you haven't got those things taken care of, believe me, that is the most priority thing that there is for a believer, is to have salvation. If you don't have salvation, the rest of it really doesn't matter. None of you are old enough here. Most of you, I'm going to say this. I don't think there's anyone here that have received your medals from the Lord yet. You're still breathing on this side of heaven, and there is a place to serve. Me and Phil talk about sometimes about the church growth that God has given to us, and we don't stop at where we are. Sometimes we believe that God will give us 200 people in this church. And we say, why is it taking so long? Sometimes it's not because God is slow. It's not because God is waiting. Sometimes God's just waiting on us. Because it takes leaders to get to go where they are. And that's what God did with these mighty men. God worked in these mighty men. There were battles that were won that should not have been won in human nature. Being outnumbered, you count the cost of the battle. And here it is, the cost of the battle. Who's got more? Who's got more of this? But here it is. When you have the Lord, you have everything you need. You have everything you need in the Lord. What we need to do is look and examine what's on the inside of ourselves. Will we turn? Will we run? Will we keep a commitment? Will we serve and do what God's called us to do? Some of you can say that I'm tired, and I get it. Some of you are overloaded. You got a lot more going on. But listen, dig down just a little bit more sometimes, and you just reach down into the heart and say, Lord, keep using me. And sometimes we move from one position to another. That's not so much taxing. It's okay. Just because you change positions sometimes or roles doesn't mean that God's disciplining you. Sometimes it just means that God is making room for new people to come in. And then when another door is open, he puts you into something new. You don't have to see the plan. You just have to follow the Lord. He has a plan. He has a plan for us as individuals. He has a plan for the church. He has a plan for you. His plan is always right. New life stands at the crossroads of brokenness and pain and hurt for many people. But for many other people, it stands at the crossroads of opportunity for serving God, to giving service to God. And here it is. What's it going to be for you? Both of those ways are great. You're letting God intervene. But to sit under the wayside, to be an observer at the top of the stands watching a football game, all you see is dots moving. You hear a little bit of the rumble. You can say, I was there, I participated, and call it a day. But maybe some of us need to move from the high rise a little bit down closer to where the game is going on and where the battlefield is happening. In the end, I know this. Especially military guys, you know this. When you're out in the front, that's where the medals are given. In the rear with the gear, making all the plans, not so much. But when you're out there in the battlefield, that's where all the bruises, that's where all the cuts. I go to the VA sometimes. I know Jerry goes to the VA. And after Afghanistan, Iraq, and all that was done, I started seeing young people coming in, missing an arm, missing two legs. Missing an arm and a leg, and those were all from, most of those were just bombs. That's what my middle son did in Afghanistan, looking for roadside bombs for 6 months. Stressed me out. It's one thing if I'm doing it, it's another thing if he's doing it. And with all of that, I saw these young people. You know what they were? They were privates. They were specialists. They were sergeants. And most of them were not officers. They were the grunts getting the job done. One day we will all be before God. All of us that are believers will stand before the Lord and give an account. And the Bible says that God will reward us. He won't reward us for sitting at the top of the bleachers. You can't see the bruises and the cuts that you have as a believer. But God does. God sees your work ethic. God sees what you did 20 years ago, and that's great because some of us are getting older and we've had a great, great life of working and serving God. Those are beautiful moments in God, even though the world and churches, you know, Mr. Jones has passed away, and I look at when I'm preaching, I see Pat all the time. I know she's a pastor's wife, and she's got many years of experience. And it's like right now, it's like, does anybody even notice what she's done in the past? I want to remind you that God does. And God will reward her for all that she has done and all that we have forgotten. All that we have forgotten, God remembers. Don't live your life on the top bleacher. Get down in the fight. Get down in the mix of it. Get it down. Get in there where it gets going. And you start where the Lord leads. And I want to remind you, to clean the church is just the same as God is watching someone preach and sing. We serve the Lord with all heart. We serve the Lord with all loyalty and all commitment. I know better than anyone else. I'm just doing what God has called me to do. That's it. And I'm accountable for doing what God has called me to do. And you're accountable for doing what God has called you to do. But I always know this, and in closing, we all should be growing in our walk with Jesus. We should all be growing. I should be a better Christian this year than I was last year. I should be wiser in the Word. I should be more knowledgeable in the Word. I should be more praying this year than I did last year. Doesn't mean I haven't had hard times. Doesn't mean you haven't had hard times. But we know this, warriors who have experience know how to battle on the battlefield. Father, we know that you are the great, you are the great King. We know that you are the creator of all this, the creator of us. Father, you created the church and what we do in it, Lord. So many churches are different, but Lord, in the midst of all of it, we are to worship you and lift your name above all names. I pray today, Lord, that your Spirit would just be upon us as a crowd today, as a congregation, that you would begin to stir the hearts of some of our people. Stir the hearts of those that need to serve, to move them in that direction. And Lord, I always pray for those that don't know you, that hear your word, that you're stirring in their heart for relationship. I pray for their salvation today. But whatever it may be, may your Holy Spirit speak to us in a way that only you can. Be with us in this time. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.